Amen. Thank you, Craig and Patty. Beautiful song. And I love the songs of Christmas. Amen. That's just a wonderful thing to have those songs. Of course, we will have folks, especially on Wednesday nights when we have people can choose the songs we sing. They'll choose Christmas songs in the middle of summer. And that's fine. That's good. But it's something about... I'm talking. There's something about... just the season of Christmas, and whatever you do, don't lose touch of what it's all about. I mean, if you go to the stores, you know most of the stores, you'd have no clue. I've heard more happy holidays, you know, and well, Merry Christmas, amen. But it is all about Jesus coming to die on an old rugged cross to pay for our sins. And as the choir sang, all is well. It really is. All is well. And we're going through the book of Revelation in Sunday school, and the whole emphasis is we win, amen? All is well. It really is well, and for God's people, you know, there are, all over this room, there are trials and tribulations going on. You just cannot imagine. I just gave you a prayer request, a six-year-old boy with leukemia in our Sunday school, and there are many, many trials. But understand this, all is well. God is still on the throne, and He's still in charge. In Psalm 16, it talks about something, and I found this paper, actually, that I ended up writing my notes on, but I had, I don't remember when, but who knows how long ago, in all my notes and different things, I had written, just wrote this title, and then wrote down this passage of Scripture. And God just really laid on my heart when I saw it, and so I've developed it into a sermon. But the night seasons, it says in verse 7, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. And I want to talk to you about the night seasons this morning. Father, please bless the preaching and speak to our hearts, and thank you for the good music, and Lord, just for the Christmas season and how we remember you coming, and we remember your perfect life, and we remember that you died for us. And I pray we'd not lose focus of that. But help us, Lord, today to realize that you're there for us when the night seasons come. And Lord, that you've got it all under control and all really is well. Please speak to us now. And if there's someone here who's not saved, I pray you'll save him today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It seems like bad things always happen at night. I mean, it just seems that way. I mean, if something is going to happen, it seems like it happens at night. And there's something about the darkness that bothers us. There's something about things happening at night that just make it that much worse. I know that when I was a child, the joke always was in my family, my closet was a disaster area. And I guess as I think back, it probably was. I remember getting candy for all the different holidays, and I would store it in my closet. And Mom used to always talk about the line of ants that would come out of my closet and go into my closet. And it just was a constant thing because of that. You know, I was one that I would need everything. I would hoard it and save it for later. But I had toys and things, and my closet was just always a disaster. But I remember other kids talking about the monster in the closet. And, you know, during the day, I'd get in my closet, and really, it was a dangerous place to go because there was stuff stacked so high and junk everywhere. It really was. And, of course, all the ants, you know, if you actually got lost in the closet, they could eat you up eventually. But I remember during the day I'd go in my closet, it was no big deal. But it's funny, once I heard somebody talk about that monster in the closet, I remember as a child, I'd go to bed and I'd look over there. I wonder where that monster, but why is it? In the day, I'd go in the closet, no big deal. It's almost like, you know, because it was dark. Same thing about under the bed. You know, under the bed. Under the bed. I remember as a kid, I had junk stored under the bed. I had probably candy that was years old under the bed. And the ants would go from under the bed to the closet and back and set up camp, you know. But But I remember many times having to climb under the bed and crawl under the bed and look for something and dig around under there and all the dust and everything that's under there and it was no big deal. But then at night, why is it? Everything's dark and I hear a noise under the bed. And you don't look at night because you know if you look, there's going to be two eyes looking back at you. In my case, it had been many, many eyes of the ants looking back at me. But why is it at night? The Palm Sunday tornado, and many of you have memories of that, as I do from Indiana. But nighttime, that storm hit at night. It was pitch black, and I remember the darkness of that. My best friend, my assistant pastor, was killed in a car wreck right in front of our church. And I was home when that happened. He was on his way home after the service, or after they had fellowshipped a while, after church on that Sunday night. And sure enough, you know, the phone rang at 11 o'clock, and one of my deacons called and said, "Pastor Ken has been in a car wreck, and it's not good." And of course, I found out. I went there, and saw him there in the car. And he had gone to heaven from that accident. But again, late at night, often, if my wife and I were to think of all the times we've gone to the emergency room for different things, whether it was for ourselves or our children or someone else to visit, it's always at night. It just seems like these kinds of things happen at night. Storms are always worse at night. You know, you can have a storm during the day, and you might be afraid. You know, you might look at the clouds and be afraid. But I remember as a child, a storm during the day was no big deal. But boy, when it was at night, it just seemed like it was that much worse. And David here is referring to the night seasons. Paul, when he was arrested as a prisoner and for preaching the gospel, when he was taken to Rome by sea, the Bible says a hurricane hit, which was called Euroclydon. And in that passage of Scripture, it said they wished for the day. And why is that? I mean, they're out in the middle of the sea. They're being tossed by waves. They're being, they're being blown by the wind. And at night, though, it was just more terrifying. They wished for the day. Have you ever wished for the day? Have you ever, in the middle of the night, have you ever wished for the day? How about in life's nighttime experiences? How about when you're going through one of these night seasons of trouble and trial? Have you ever just wished for the day? I think back to Lester Roloff singing, "The sun's coming up in the morning." And other great singers, you know, the sun's coming up in the morning. What is it about the night that is so tough? Psalmist said in Psalm 30, verse 5, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." And what the Bible's talking about is talking about those night seasons of trouble, those night seasons of fear in our lives, those night seasons where everything seems worse than maybe it really is. Those night seasons when we're afraid to look under the bed. Those night seasons where in life we maybe don't even want to leave our home. We don't want to go out because things just seem to be going wrong. Those night seasons the Bible talks about. Understand, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And, you know, as the Bible uses the terminology night seasons, understand a season has a beginning, but it also has an end. And it always does. And there are folks in this room going through some night seasons. And I assure you of this, just as much as it had a beginning, it also will have an end. You know, we just started we're not even in the season called winter yet. It's coming. And it feels like winter anyway, but understand, just as we've watched the leaves all fall off the trees and all the blooms and the buds, everything is yellow and looks dead and the trees have no leaves on them and all that, just as sure as I'm standing here and just as sure as that happened and there's a pile of leaves in my backyard that is my backyard, understand, understand, just as sure as that is like it is, there's going to be little sprouts are going to come out on those trees. And the grass is going to turn green again. And the flowers are going to bloom again. Amen? And it's a season. And the seasons have a beginning. The seasons have an end. And understand, the night seasons. The sun's coming up in the morning. And I want to give you some night seasons from the Bible. Certainly it's not all of them, but there are some Bible night seasons I want to call your attention to. And the first one is in Job chapter 7 and verse 1. And we'll be able to identify with this real well. Job 7 verse 1. And the first night season is when you're awake. When you're awake. We're supposed to go to bed at night and sleep, amen? Yeah, but there's a night season when you're awake. Job 7 and verse 1, Job talks about, and of course, Job's lost everything. He's lost his wealth. He's lost his land. He's lost everything that is special to him. He's lost his children. And he says in verse 1, is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as an hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. You ever had a wearisome night? You ever had one of those nights where you wake up or you get up in the morning and you're more tired than you were when you went to bed? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay, you know that physically. You ever had that in your life? You just say, you know what? I'm tired. Those things that used to bring me rest, I'm weary. Those things that used to bring me peace, it's not happening. Well, that's what Job's talking about. He said, wearisome nights are appointed. By the way, it's an appointment, he said. Those wearisome nights are appointed to me. And he says this, when I lie down, I say, when shall I arise? And the night be gone. And I am full of tossings to and fro unto the dawning of the day. Can you identify with that this morning? I certainly understand what he's talking about. At night, you're supposed to sleep. When you lie down, you're supposed to go to sleep. And Job says, I'm awake. I remember, last summer I had a sleep test. And how many of you ever had a sleep test? Anybody? I remember laughing about that. Why would anybody have a sleep test? I mean, you just sleep. And I really didn't know a whole lot about it other than I think you went before I did and a couple other people went before I did. So they kind of told me a little bit. And I was amazed at all the wires they hooked up to me. They hooked up things. I mean, they put wires everywhere. And they had wires on the brain. And that made me a little nervous. But they had wires here, you know, around your eyes to see if your eyes twitch. And, I mean, there's wires everywhere. So by the time you're all hooked up to these wires, I mean, you don't look the same. And thank God they don't take pictures of you, I hope. But anyway, I was hooked up to all these wires and the technician there, they said, now you let me know when you're tired and you can go to bed. Well, I've been getting tired. I get tired early anymore. And so I suppose it was 10:30, something like that. I said, you know, I'm really tired. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. And you know, I got to go to sleep. Sure enough, they you know, got everything all ready, and they had the cameras on, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And that film's not for sale, though. But they had all this stuff and everything. And I'm saying, man, I'm tired. She said, just try to go to sleep. I said, oh, it'll be no problem at all. I mean, I I'm really exhausted. I worked hard today. It was my day off. And so I'm laying there, and I'm thinking, wow, I'm so tired. And I close my eyes, and all these wires and everything are hooked up there, and all of a sudden, you know, blink. I wonder if they know I just opened my eyes. Oh, they know I just did that. And that's all going through my mind. Every move, every noise, everything, I'm thinking, are they watching this? Are they tracking this? You know. So then I made a game out of it, and I started going, Pretty soon, a voice comes over and says, you're supposed to be asleep. Honestly, I could not sleep. It was intimidating, to be honest with you, I just couldn't sleep. And to be honest with you, I was more tired the next morning than probably I'd been in a long, long time. Just absolutely wide awake. That's what Job's talking about. He talks about wearisome nights. But notice it's an appointment to us. God has some night seasons for everybody here. The psalmist says in verse 7 of Psalm 16, he said, "My reins also instruct me in the night seasons." And there's something that maybe God wants us to learn as we go through those night seasons. You know what he's talking about? Tossing and turning, and that seems to be your life. It's just like, I'm supposed to be resting. I'm supposed to have some peace, and I'm wide awake through this whole thing. I remember in the early 90s, I had some issues, and the doctors finally, I thought I was having a heart attack. They thought I was having a heart attack, and I've mentioned that before. And finally, they said, "Well, your heart's fine." And I did a heart catheterization. They went in, looked, and all of that. And finally, they said, "It must be stress." And of course, pastors and preachers, they said, "Well, it's the devil's attack." I think probably if the devil attacks, you probably are under some stress. And figured all of that was involved. And I just remember it being a very humbling time of realizing how not in control I was. How not in control of my own body I was. We think we got things under control till something goes wrong. Till things aren't working like you think they're supposed to work. You ask anybody who's had a stroke, a heart attack, or something like that, and I'm going to tell you, they're going to tell you, "Hey, a seizure, I had no control. An allergic reaction, I had no control." And it's a humbling thing. And as I think back, I think of the psalmist, "My reins also instruct me in the night seasons." And all of a sudden, you realize just how human you really are and how little control you have. So I decided during that time that if I'm going to be awake at night, I'm just going to spend the time with God and talk to Him. And I'm going to use the time to worship God, praise God, to thank God, and to pray for others. And eventually it all stopped, and now when God wakes me up at 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever, I often spend time talking to Him. But Job recognized something, and if you are going through a night season today, I want you to understand that you need to recognize God is in control. He is in control. I remember so clearly those times when I couldn't breathe, I couldn't swallow, and I had no control, and I was shaking, and all of, I may not have had control, but He always had control. And we're always better off under His control than we are our own. Number one is when you're awake, that is a night season. Number two, a night season is when you feel alone. When you feel alone, go to Genesis 28. The Bible talks about Jacob. Genesis 28, and I could have used several stories in the Bible about this. In fact, many of these I could have used other stories. But Genesis 28, Jacob went through a night season. And I believe everybody in this room can understand and identify with when you feel alone. I think we can all identify with when we're awake, but especially when you feel alone. Genesis 28 and verse 10 says, "Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of.'" And here, Jacob, he's going through a night season. And we pick it up here at verse 10 where he goes out from Beersheba and on his way to Haran. And here he is, as far as we know, the first time perhaps away from home and first time not in his bedroom, and he's using rocks for pillows. And, well, his mommy's not there to tuck him into bed. And, I mean, he's probably feeling very, very alone. Well, why is he doing that, preacher? Well, he just cheated his brother and just tricked his father. And now he's running for his life because of that. And I think he felt all alone. Again, no mom there to tuck him in bed and give him some cookies and milk before he goes to bed. And he puts a rock down for his pillow, and God saw him there. I'm sure he felt very, very much alone. Maybe for the first time in his life, he felt alone. He wasn't much of a Christian, but he was God's, and God saw him. You ever feel like that? Maybe in a night season? I just feel like I'm all alone in this thing. And God, I don't know if anybody even cares about me. And I think that's probably how Jacob maybe felt here. And then the Lord visited him. Verse 16, Jacob awaked out of his sleep and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." Surely, he said, "the Lord is in this place." And he called it Bethel, which means the house of God. Surely, he said, in my mind, I thought, you know, had he never experienced that night season, he may never have made that statement. Surely, the Lord is in this place. Maybe you've had a financial setback. Maybe you're going through a family problem. Could be an illness. But at any rate, the circumstances of life have given you a night season where you kind of feel like you're all alone. Understand this. He, God, will visit you just like he did Jacob. Verse 18 is very interesting. It says, Jacob rose up early in the morning and he took the stone that he had put for his pillows and he set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. Isn't that something? His pillow became a place of worship. How many times over the years? I read that, and I've read this so many times. It's amazing. But just the other day, I read that again, and I stopped, and I started to remember the times I've made a little altar out of my pillow. And I've taken that pillow, and it's become a place of worship where I laid there, and I said, "Oh, God, you're such a good God. You're such a wonderful God." And here I am feeling all alone. And here I am maybe having a pity party for me. And here I am maybe looking at circumstances and all the things that are going against me at the time. And there I am feeling like nobody really cares. And all of a sudden, as it did with Jacob, God says, "Hey, wait a minute. What about me?" And my pillow became a place of worship, as it did with Jacob. Understand, God is there. You're not alone. Though you may feel like you're all alone, you're not alone. God is there. Let me encourage you, when you go through the night season where you feel alone, make your pillow a place of worship. Make your pillow, which has caught many of your tears, make it a place where you say, "God, you are there. Surely, surely the Lord is in this place. Surely he's here. Surely I'm not alone in this battle. I'm not alone in this season. God is with me. God's going to take care of me. God's got it all under control." Night seasons when you're awake. Night season when you feel alone. Number three, a night season when you're afraid. Go to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13. Familiar passage of Scripture, one of my favorite passages. "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. And I think in my mind, as I've recounted this story over and over, I think Joshua perhaps was trying to sleep, and as he tried to sleep, he pondered the walls of Jericho. And because of those walls, he had a night season of fear, thinking, how can we conquer Jericho when the walls are impenetrable? They cannot, we can't knock those walls down. And I think he might have contemplated his friends and his commanders, his leaders and people that he loved, and how that many of them would lose their lives at the walls of Jericho. Because the walls, people would be on top of the walls and they would be shooting arrows down. They'd be throwing stones down. They'd be pouring oil down. They would be doing everything they could to get those men away from their walls. Perhaps he's afraid of how many would die at the wall. Maybe he's even thinking that his own life would be lost at the walls of Jericho. We read it and we know the story and we sing about it. But he had no idea. And I believe he was going through a night season of fear when you're afraid. Moses is gone. He's in charge. Moses, who had led them through so many things, he's gone. And now Joshua's accountable. Now he's in charge. Now he is a leader. And as that goes through his mind, and he goes through all the possibilities, and he thinks about people dying, and he thinks about how will we get through those walls, oh, he meets the captain. Amen. And in my mind, I see him trembling, and I see him, how will I knock down these walls? What am I going to do? I'm in charge now, but he finds out he's not. And one of the best lessons in all the world we can learn is we're not. Don't push being in charge. Amen. We're not. And Joshua meets the captain. I'll tell you what. When you meet the captain, it's amazing how much it takes away your fear. Whew. I'm glad you've got it under control. And he found out the captain, Jesus, had it under control. Sometimes it takes a night season so we can meet the captain. And so we can yield to the captain. Sometimes, you know, we're moving on and we're doing right things and we're doing good things and we're moving ahead. And boy, we're charging hell with everything we've got. And all of that is taking place. But we get the idea we're in charge. And sometimes God allows a night season to take place so that we can meet the captain. And we can learn how to yield. It's so interesting. And I think about all the fears that maybe we have here today. And folks who don't have jobs. And folks who have medical issues. And folks who have trials in their lives. And the fear that perhaps is existing. Because we feel, and especially leaders and men. And we feel the pressure of all of that. Isn't it amazing? When you turn things over to the captain, how the issue never was an issue. In my mind, I see Joshua calculating how many men it will take to die before they actually get to the wall. In my mind, he's a leader and he's calculated, he's figured out all of the archers that would be lined along the wall and maybe through the little holes in the walls, and they'd be shooting. How many men will die before we get our first ladder up? How many men will die before the large boulders that maybe our catapults will sling? How many men will die before a wall actually comes down? And he has that all figured out. And then he meets the captain. Amen. And the captain never does figure that out. He never does figure out how many men will die before the wall comes down. You know why? Because the captain's going to knock the wall down. Folks, honestly, I've done it. I'm not standing up here telling you something that I have not gone through. I have had that fear before. And I've been afraid before. And I have had that night season where I did those calculations. But the captain made the issue no longer an issue because he knocked down the walls. We just need to yield to the captain. Many times, and it's sad, I've had to be reminded who the captain is. And you might be in your night season right now because you need to be reminded who the captain is. How many times has he knocked those walls down? How many times have you taken that piece of paper that you had it all calculated and you wept over it? And how many times have you taken it, wadded it up, thrown it away, and said, it's not even an issue? Praise God. I laugh, I joke, I kid around a lot, but this guy's got a lot of scars from a lot of battles, and I've learned who the captain is. And I know the captain always gives the victory. He always does. And you sit here this morning and you say, preacher, I'm afraid. I've never faced this before and it's a night season. I don't know what I'm going to do. Understand, the captain wants you to see him. And as he did with Joshua, he wants you to yield. You say, yeah, but I got a plan here. Okay, yield. Yield to his plan. Psalm 56:3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Why would God let me? God hath not given you the spirit of fear, the Bible says. No, he doesn't give it to you. He certainly doesn't give it to you, but he does allow it to come. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Is it possible that if I'm not afraid, I'm not trusting? Is it possible that you and I get to a place sometimes where it takes fear to cause us to trust in him? It's a night season when you're afraid. Then number four, Daniel 6 and verse 16. Daniel 6. I go to good old King Darius. Daniel 6 and verse 16. He went through a night season. And again, he wouldn't have had to, but he did. Daniel 6, verse 16. And then the king commanded, they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Hey, king, do you really believe that? Oh, you know I believe it. Okay. By the way, why is Daniel there? Well, because he did what God told him to do, and he did what he always did. He prayed. And some people wanted Daniel killed, so they had a law made that wouldn't allow Daniel to pray. And the king signed it. But the king loved Daniel. And the king respected Daniel. And the king believed that Daniel's God could deliver him. Or did he? The fourth night season I want to talk to you about is when you're anxious. And oh, was he ever anxious? Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of his lords, and that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. You say, well, everything's fine. King believes that it's going to be okay. Daniel's going to make it. Everything's fine. Verse 18, then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him. Look what it says. And his sleep went from him. Why? Because he was anxious. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? By the way, he kind of believed it, because he went and checked. Oh, they were hungry lions. We find that out later on when all the bad guys get thrown in. I'm just saying, is thy God able? All night long he pondered that very question. All night long he wondered, is his God? I told him his God was able. He believes his God. He trusts his God. He prayed to his God, even though there was a law against that. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. By the way, when he heard his voice, he was probably pretty excited. You ever been anxious? My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. And the king was anxious, and he had a night season. But he found something out. He found out God is in control. And we may say it like the king did, and we may believe it, and then we worry, and we fret, and we're anxious. Sometimes I'm praying for folks, and I say, God, is everybody hurting? Sometimes I'll have people come in for counsel, maybe to be a day, just a certain day. God, is everybody having a hard time? Some days it'll be, God, is everybody in sin? Is there anybody doing right? God, is everybody in trouble? Sunday school teachers, you know what I'm talking about. I hope you do. Bus captain, you know what I'm talking about. I hope you know what I'm talking about. Parent, maybe you have a wayward child. I hope you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you have a lost loved one, and God, I know you have it under control, I think. God, I know you're gonna bring them back. God, I know you will. I think, I hope. And God says, "Be still, and know that I am God. Be still, and know." You see that night season of anxiousness. Darius worshiped false gods, small g gods. He didn't know God. He knew after that. When you're anxious, there's folks in this room, you're anxious. You lay awake and I mean, you're worried about this and that. You're worried about your child. You're worried about a friend. You're worried about a loved one. You're worried about maybe your Sunday school class. You're worried about the bus kid who's about to ruin their lives. Thank God that you think about them. Thank God that it's on your heart. Thank God that it's like that with you and I. But understand this. Know that I am God. God says, be still and know that I am God. Night seasons. Night season when you're awake. Night season when you feel alone. It's a night season when you're afraid. A night season when you're anxious. And then the last thing, it's a night season when you're away from God. Maybe the worst night season of all. Genesis 32 and verse 24. We started, well, toward the beginning here with Jacob. We end with Jacob. Genesis 32, verse 24. Boy, things have really been interesting for old Jacob. We saw him that first night, and he made that rock his pillow, and then he worshiped God. God told him he was going to be with him, and by God being with him, he didn't necessarily tell him, Jacob, you've got a lot to learn, buddy. And Jacob, the trickster, who had tricked his brother, who had tricked his father, Jacob got tricked. And in the process of his life, he got tricked, and now he has to go back and face the one that he really deceived, his brother Esau. Genesis 32:24. Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. By the way, that's Jesus. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." He said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Now, the trickster was tricked in his life, and now he has to go back, and he has to face Esau. And he goes back to Bethel, but he has unfinished business. He has to face his sin, and he has to deal with his sin. You know, that is a night season for you and I, when we have to face our sin. Some folks just turn the preaching off. Some folks just don't read their Bible because they don't want to deal with it. Some folks don't go to God in prayer because they don't want to deal with it. But there comes that time that, and by the way, it is a night season for a Christian to be away from God, because you are not made to be away from God. You are made to walk with God and to draw nigh to God and to abide in Jesus Christ. And to be away from God is totally opposed to our nature. It is a night season, and no wonder you're miserable. No wonder you have no joy. No wonder you have no laughter. No wonder you do not smile. No wonder everything is negative in your life, because you have some unfinished business. Well, I'll go back to Bethel. And if you go back to Bethel, you're going to have to deal with your sin. Can you imagine Jacob? I'll go back to Bethel. Well, if you go back to Bethel, you're going to have to face Esau. And you're going to have to deal with your sin. And by the way, he does here. But he wrestled with God. He wrestled with God. There are folks in this room right now, you're wrestling with God over dealing with that sin, facing that sin, getting that sin right. How many times have I prayed for someone, "God, please don't let them sleep until they get that right with you. Please, God, do not let them sleep." Folks who are bitter. Folks who are angry and bitter, and maybe some other kind of sin that is in their life, and it keeps them away from the fellowship they should have with their God. And it's a night season. But you see, just like Jacob, it's up to us to end that night season of being away from God. And the way we end it is to get right with God. It's called confession. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And to confess means just to say the same thing God says. "This is a sin, God. Well, so-and-so did me wrong, and I have a right to be..." No, it's a sin. It's a sin to be bitter toward someone. It's a sin. "I'll get even with them." It's a sin. "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." God will take care of it. It's a sin, and that sin's kept you away from God. And it's a night season that you do not want to have. And so it's up to us to end that night season. We can end it. How many times have I ended a night season of being away from God and realized joy does come in the morning? It really comes when you get it right with God. May take a message, could be just a time alone reading your Bible or praying or whatever. But you need to get right with God, because you're away from Him. And if you're away from God, it is a night season that will not end until you choose to end it by getting right with God. What happens to Jacob? Well, we know the story. He comes up lame because he wrestled with God, and he's lame. And he has evidence for the rest of his life. I like it in Hebrews when it talks about his faith and it talks about him leaning on a staff. Why is he leaning on a staff? Well, because he wrestled with God and he came up lame. But you know what? He came up lame, but he came up blessed. and God blessed him. Better seems had he just gotten right without having to wrestle with God. But thank God he did get right, and God blessed him. Being away from God might be the worst night season. It is the worst night season, because I'll be honest with you, in the night seasons, I need God. He's gotten me through a lot of them. You're here this morning and you say, I'm going through these night seasons, preacher. Trust the Lord. Go to the Lord. Get right with the Lord. Settle whatever it is that you need to settle. Get it right. Confess. Whatever that is. Trust Him. Believe Him. Let Him be the captain of your life. And you'll find that the night season is just like any season. It has a beginning, but it also has an end. And joy does come in the morning. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head's bowed. Every eye's closed. I wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, preacher, I've never even been saved. If I died right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Please pray for me. Anyone like that? Nobody's looking but me. You say, pray for me. I do not know whether I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Anyone? Raise your hand. Say, pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. How many would say, preacher, I am a Christian. I'm saved. I've made that decision. But God is speaking to me about something today. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand all over? Just slip it up. I am saved, but God's dealing with me about something. Thank you. God bless you. Father, I do pray that you'll bless our invitation, that we will act upon what you speak to us about. And I pray for folks going through these night seasons. I pray, God, that you would help each of us, as we do, to realize that you are God, that you are the captain. I pray that we would yield and confess any sin and get it right with you. And Lord, that we'd not be away from you, but that, Lord, we would know you're there, and then we'd be still. And we'd know that you're God. You've got it under control. Please, please bless and help some folks today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. 281, pass me not, O gentle Savior. 281, as we sing the first verse, God speaking to your heart, you have a decision to make. You come as the Lord leads.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
The instruments continue. If you need to make a decision today, there's still time. Something you'd like to pray about. God spoke in your heart. You say, yeah, I'm going through a night season. God has something for you in it. Psalmist talked about instruction. I cannot think of any other reason why we would have that, but for us to learn something from our night season. God speak into your heart. If you need to come, you come. Any others need to come? Folks are here praying. there's something you'd like to pray about, something God's speaking to your heart about. It's just a tough time, preacher. It will end. But see what God wants to teach you. See what it is that He wants to show you. You say, but I feel alone, but you're not. You say, but I'm wide awake. Then use the time. See, I'll be honest with you, I've never been so afraid in all my life. Just remember, God's the one that can take the issue and make it no longer an issue. The problem becomes peace. It's gone. Only God can do that. Any others need to come? Still time. One more verse, and then we'll be done. Look up this way, please. 4:30, there will be cantata practice for everyone. That would be choir, everybody, all right? The skit and everything. 5 o'clock, of course, our prayer times, and the teens meet at 5. And then 6 o'clock, our evening service, so don't forget that. And we'll have the Lord's Supper tonight. So if you have small children that have not been participated in that, make sure you explain to them what that's about, and that'll be good. Don, close in prayer.
And we do have nursery for the choir members for that time as well. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you that our night seasons do have a beginning and end. And Lord, if we would many times but deal with our relationship with you and walk right, those would come but be much easier to bear. Father, when we're alone, when we're anxious, and Lord, when we're away from you, may we come to you, return to you, trust in you, and realize your presence with us. Father, may your presence go with us from this place this morning and return us again safely tonight. And may the season be upon our hearts, a season of joy, for the Savior has come, and the message of the real reason for Christmas be ever on our lips as we go about our daily task. We pray in Jesus' name and for His sake.